Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now, today's message.
You know, in Network 21.1, we're doing world campaigns across the world. And the first thing that Mark Flattery said to me when I walked in the office my first day there in the ministry was that, hey, you know, I've had this vision to take what we've done around the world and create some type of an environment where we could reach out to our military families. And you're a veteran, and you know, why is it we haven't been able to do that? And so I said, well, I'm not really quite sure, but I like your idea, so why not explore this this opportunity to have a targeted aspect of ministry for military members, veterans, and their families? And it wasn't just the military member, but veterans as well, and of course, the people who support those individuals, you know, very closely, you know, moms, dads, husbands, wives. They are warriors too. You know, they sacrifice so much. So we begin to investigate this. I said, you know, I'm going to venture to say that most likely the reason why in our efforts at Network 21.1, why we haven't been able to break into those families is because we're probably not addressing the felt needs that are there. Because in the military life, how many of you are military veterans? Just raise your hand if you would, or you have exposure to someone who's in the military. Maybe you're not a veteran, but you have a son or a daughter or someone close to you that served, okay, so you understand. The military is a very unique culture, and it creates challenges that most individuals don't really understand. And, you know, you can't really expect them to understand, because if they haven't gone through the process, if they haven't experienced the challenges personally, it's very difficult to really know what it is that these individuals go through. You know, when, for instance, you know, if you're a mom and a dad who have a son or a daughter, and then they deploy to a forward area, or they're in a combat zone, can you imagine what that would be like? You know, to think about your child being in a position where they're giving their life, potentially being wounded severely or possibly losing their life and not being able to come home. The last thing you want to hear is that on the door. Because they don't tell you when something happens. They literally show up at your door, ring the doorbell, and if they're standing there and there's individuals in their Class A uniforms, then you know. You know that something is not good. And I can't tell you how many stories Kaya and I have listened to, Gold Star families who tell this story, and it's the same exact story. And that's very difficult for us to understand. I didn't understand that until our son, our middle son, went on his first deployment. Then we understood. Then it's like, whew, because it's you, right? It hits you. And so, wow, we didn't have any support. We didn't know who to call. We didn't know who to lean on. And it was very difficult to share that with our friends, because they're like, oh, okay, we'll pray for you, which we're thankful for. But it's really nice when you can share that with someone who says, hey, we know, we've been there, we've done that. And here's some things that we've learned, or we'll be praying for you, or and you know that they connect, right, on a personal level. There's something about that that's very powerful. So why not create an environment to have that ongoing support in a powerful way? So Mark Flattery at Network 21.1, we've, you know, been working for many, many years. By the way, your support of Network, just a little side note here, we have had over 50 million presentations of the gospel in over 142 countries to date. We've had over 350,000 people give their hearts to Jesus since 2008 because of your support. Isn't that awesome? And you have been such a big part of that. And so we're taking that very same concept and we're rolling that in. And so we did this study. We were able to find out these unique challenges, and they're all very unique. Post-traumatic stress is what we hear about a lot. How many of you ever heard of PTSD, right? You've heard of that. That's great. And it is an issue. It is a unique challenge, but it's not just a military. It could be our first responders. It could be anybody who's had some type of a traumatic experience that we don't normally experience, right? But in the military, I think that's the thing that has taken center stage. And in some ways, it's been unfortunate because there are so many other issues that need to be addressed, and we were able to discover that through our study through the Pentagon. We've had just great, I don't have time to tell you, the amazing divine appointments that God has given us to have the connections that we have to be able to do what we are doing. It's been quite miraculous. In fact, it's probably been the most exciting thing I've ever experienced in my life, ministry-wise especially, to see how God is just uniquely and miraculously opened doors for us to partner with the military the way that we have. The influence that we currently have and being as young and new as we are has just been phenomenal. It is a testament to the fact that the military, it's designed to do one thing, train individuals to fight and win wars. That's what they do, and they do it well. We have the greatest military in the world, and I'm proud of that. I'm thankful that we live in a free country. And I'm thankful that even in the midst of all the chaos that we're dealing with right now, let's not ignore the elephant in the room, right? There are issues. And I'm going to address that too in the scripture today here briefly. But I just want you to know that God has a plan. And without, as Pastor Steve said, this is fantastic, that without God being at the center, we don't have any hope. And that's why military members, commanders, people at the Pentagon, they're literally calling us saying, how is it you guys can have these results when we have all these military programs, how we pour money into the VA, how we spend millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars, and we cannot seem to break through to helping individual families and individual warriors the way that we want to. And my response is very simple. It's because Jesus isn't the center. And because you're dealing with here, which is great, and you're dealing with the physical, which is great, there's nothing wrong with that, it's important, but you're forgetting the soul. And so we focus on the soul. And they're like, will you help us? Absolutely. You know, of course we will. Just don't take Jesus out of the equation, you know. Please just don't tell us how, better yet, don't tell God how to do his job, right? And if we can partner along with that, and they're like, we're in, you know. And it's been phenomenal. I can't tell you. I'm excited to tell you a few things here as we go forward. So let me just share a couple things here briefly about who we are, what we do. This has, as it's launched now, I'm working probably 85, 90% of what I do now is just with the Warriors Journey. We have added some other veterans onto our team, which has been fantastic. And this thing has exploded way beyond our desire, or way beyond what we thought we would ever desire, is really what I meant to say. You know, so we thought maybe in 15, 20 years we could be where we are today. So it's really been a challenge to keep up with what God is doing, but it's been a blessing. So this is why Network, just think of this way, Network 21-1 is what gave birth to this ministry. And as of this year, Mark came to me and said, hey, we're going to make this a separate thing. I'm birthing it out. You're taking this, run with it, and let's just see what God will continue to do. So we're very, very excited about that. So your support, though, has been a big part of helping to do that. Can I just say thank you for that? Pastor Steve, thank you so much. Knowing that your investment in us, your return on investment is about what I'm going to share. So please don't think that you're separate from this. This is very much a part of what LifePoint Church is and what you're doing in mission. So next slide there, guys. Let me just share a little bit about, you know me. So you've got an introduction to me. That little picture there in the bottom right is a picture in Mosul, Iraq. We took veterans there in 2016 during the offensive, and we were able to do NGO work, taking food, clothing, and water to folks that were behind enemy lines, and we were in some crazy situations, but that's one of the therapeutic things that we're doing with veterans. We're taking them back to places where they've been, where they could do good, and finding very therapeutic, cathartic type of experiences for them. Many of them lost limbs, or they were wounded, and they didn't leave on their terms, so they get to go back and do some things that are well. And so that's been really great. Next slide there. Give you a little introduction. This is my oldest son, Caleb. He and his wife, they are worship leaders at a church in Kansas City. And as our two granddaughters, they are twins, not identical, as you can see. But we're pretty thankful. They are expecting another baby. And when they were expecting, they said, I asked him, I said, so boy, girl, what are you guys hoping for? And Michaela, our daughter-in-law, she said, I'm just hoping for one. Just one this time would be great. So they are. They're having one and another girl. So we have three boys, and that'll make our fifth granddaughter. So these granddaughters are pretty sweet. Actually, I know you have a grandson, new one. Congratulations on that, too. And we have one. The next slide there, it's my son and his wife, Kelly, and their three kids. And we're just really thankful for those grandkids. I mean, they're pretty special. And then my youngest son and his wife, Amanda, they've been married 3 years in December, and I think kids hopefully are on the horizon sometime soon. We don't say anything. We don't pressure, you know, but we love those grandkids. So my middle son, my youngest son, they're both in the military, as you saw in the video. Clay just left Fort Campbell, and now he just took a company command up at Fort Riley. So he's actually close to you folks, and we're excited. He's loving it because he's a deer hunter, and he's like, yeah, Kansas, you know, love to go and enjoy the outdoors. So this is a little reflection of our boys. Caleb there up, I look at that picture and I think about what they're doing. My son Keith, who is now in a special operations command, and of course Clay, you know, being a company commander of a combat unit, we deal with that. We've had, this will be, Keith will deploy again soon, and there'll be what, five, six, almost seven deployments that we've had, will be seventh deployment that we will have to navigate. God is good, and he's faithful. And so we really covet your prayers as they do that. I also think of my son, who's the worship leader, and I have to tell you, Steve is a person being in ministry. I think that he probably has to navigate as many, if not more, landmines than the other two put together. So ministry, because it's spiritual warfare, right? It's all about serving and doing something, you know, for the greater good. So I just appreciate the fact that God has saw fit to see our boys. And I don't know how, in spite of us, you know, in spite of them having us as parents, they've turned out to be pretty good kiddos, that they love the Lord, they're serving Jesus, and they're serving others. So next slide there. So that's our brood, our grandkids. So yeah, they're pretty sweet. So let me talk to you about the warrior's journey and a little bit about, you can go to the next slide, guys. This is just something that very briefly how it works, because people ask all the time, you know, what is it exactly that you do? Well, we have four major deliverables based on the research that we did. The first deliverable was the online interactive community. That's what we've done really well at Network 21.1. We've created online presence where people, they search the internet, they're looking for something, they're looking for answers because of felt needs. And so they get online, they see an ad, find hope for your journey with that specific area. So for those 12 issues, we did the same thing with the Warrior's Journey. And we have now a pretty robust website, about 7,000 articles and video testimonies that we've collected of individual warriors and warrior families that are telling their story and talking about how to overcome and find hope in Christ, as Jesus is really the answer for these major issues. Isolation is the number one problem. It's not PTSD, it's isolation. Family brokenness. Right now, they estimate that the divorce rate is somewhere between 82 and 84% in the military and active duty. I mean, you think about that. That's insane. That's way over the national average. And it's because of the challenges that these military members face. Some of them have long periods of time where they're not together, and they have to deal with that. So we created this online resource as an active way to do that. We also added resources and services, hands-on services. And then, of course, we can't do everything, so the partnerships are very important too. There are over 40,000 veteran service organizations in America. 40,000, you know, just to help vets. So if you're a veteran, you're like, oh, where do you start, right? And I would say, just quite honestly, that many of them are doing tremendous work. Some of them are doing okay work, and some of them aren't doing anything. They're just raising money on the emotions of the American people, and they're not helping people. And so we wanted to do a really good job to find the best, most effective partners that we could come alongside and somehow say, hey, why not lock arms? Because what we can't do, we want to be able to walk with that family or walk with that veteran or that military member and say, hey, let's triage what you need and let's make sure you get what you need and be able to refer them to something we could feel confident in. Of course, knowing again, Jesus is the answer. Make sense? So we've worked really hard at that. So let me just run through that real briefly. Next slide there, guys. Thank you. So this online interactive community, this is what it looks like. You can go to twj.org. I'd really encourage you to actually explore it. We change the homepage constantly with this stuff that's been happening in Afghanistan. We had a huge focus on that. We've had over 700 conversations in the last 6 weeks with individuals who have really struggled over that area because they were there. Maybe there multiple times. Maybe they lost buddies or friends, or they themselves came back severely wounded and felt like, hey, we sacrificed. Did this mean anything? You know, I feel like maybe it was all for nothing. And so we've been there to encourage them and say, no, it does mean something. It still means something. What you did still means something. And it affected the lives of so many, not to mention the fact that we have a country that hasn't seen another 9/11 for 20 years. So we're really trying to encourage these guys to let them know that their efforts are so important, so critical. Next slide there, guys. So this is how it works, really. I gave the challenges there. These are in order, okay? So if you look at those challenges, starting with isolation all the way down to helplessness and a sense of helplessness, notice the post-traumatic stress, it's there, but it's number 10. And so all these other issues above are actually more prevalent in the lives of people. Moral injury being one of those, and I'll come back to that because I want to tell you a story about moral injury and what that is, because I didn't even know what that was. You know, honestly, I have no idea. You know, I'm thinking, well, I need to learn more about what that means with people who have been involved in combat. My experience in combat was Grenada. You know, I got to grow it in Grenada, 1983, in October, that was quite an experience. But it was all of 4.5 days, right? I mean, that was great, and I was proud to be a part of it, and it was a little hairy at times, but nothing like what these individuals have spent, where guys have gone maybe 5, 6, 7 times. I had a command sergeant major in SEAL Team 7. I said, how many times have you deployed since 2001? He said, 17. 17 combat deployments. I'm like, how is that even possible? So basically, almost every year, he's going for a period of time. And I said, well, what does normal look like for you? He goes, I don't have any idea what normal is. He goes, I'll never know what normal is, because he'd experienced so much. So we have the opportunity to sit down and talk with these individuals. And I'm telling you, folks, listen, be encouraged. Even in the special operations community, especially, where these guys have really been the tip of the spear, they love to hear about Jesus. They love to hear about how God has a plan for their life. They love to know that, number one, that God loves them, that they are loved, because they don't really live in that world where they sense that a lot. You know what I'm saying? They're thankful that there is a community that they can belong to in the military, but that eventually happens or differentiates, and there's a separation issue that happens, or a transitional thing that takes place when they get out of the military and they thrust back into the civilian world. How do they deal with that? Because, again, nothing can ever be normal for them again. And so for them to find community is a challenge. We're helping them with that. And giving churches opportunities, too, to build environments where they feel comfortable coming in, which is really the most important thing, right? Because, again, the body of Christ is the answer, you know, to that question. So these are just a list of things. And how it works, you can go to the next slide, guys. So we buy Google AdWords based on really high-level algorithm campaigns, and we have an expert team that does this for us. It's really awesome, because here's what happens with people in isolation. When you're in isolation, guess what? You still are online. People still, in fact, they live online. They anything they do interactively typically is online. And if you're online this morning, you know what I mean. And not to say that you're trying to isolate. For whatever reason, you may not be here today. We're grateful that you're watching. But people typically will leverage the internet. And so we want to live big and large there. So we take those issues and we say, hey, if you're thinking about this, or this is something that you're working through, we're here for you. And they search, we present then, a solution. It's for warriors by warriors, because we have an army of warriors that we have now raised up, people who love Jesus and are there to share their faith and give tremendous insight to what they've been through. So if I get a special operations guy calls and says, man, I'm just working through some stuff, hey, I'm going to connect them. We've got a lot of other special operations guys who love Jesus. And then guess what? Boom. Instant trust. Hey, brother. Yeah, I've been there. Where'd you serve? Well, I served there too. What was your unit? Oh, man, we were riding the tails of you guys. In fact, I've had this happen. I remember you. You know, sometimes they even serve together. So there's a trust that's there, and all of a sudden, instant credibility, right? And then they begin to say, hey, man, I'm not telling you what to do, but if you don't give Jesus a chance to come into your life, you're just an idiot. Okay, they can talk like that to each other, right? You know, because that's what I found. You know, and then they offer this solution. It's pretty powerful to watch these guys come to that realization. So we connect, we help them to grow, and then ultimately we want them to belong to a faith community, a local church somewhere, or if they're still in the military, you know, they connect with their chaplain, or they get involved with something where they can grow in their walk with God. And we give all kinds of opportunities for that. So next slide there, just real briefly. Our latest statistics, this was as the end of September. We've had over 750,000 people visit our site and explore what's been on our site, which is pretty cool. This is since 2016. We've had 31,000 people give their hearts to Christ or rededicate their lives to Jesus. I mean, that's pretty amazing. You know, in the military, we're talking military members and their families. We wouldn't have dreamed that we would have these types of results at this point. And we have over 10,000 case management connections that we're actually working with. We've worked and are working with over 10,000 people to help them on their path to Christ, and helping them through programs or other things that they're working through. The suicide intervention part has been a huge thing for us. From October 2016 to the end of 2020, now, if you can understand this, I know statistics are just numbers, but these are people. So think of this in terms of people. We had 289 people that contacted us from 2016 to the end of 2020 that were ready to take their life. They were really on the brink. And we were able to invest time, love, and effort and allow the love of Jesus to enter in, and we have not lost one of those individuals and found them to come to a place of wholeness. Now, you notice the number there. So since the beginning of this year to the end of September, we've had over 650 individuals that we've intervened suicide prevention. Three times the amount we've had in the last 4 years. Folks, it's crazy. This is an epidemic. And I think part of it is we're getting better at connecting with those individuals, but part of it is, too, that there's a lot of despair, a lot of hopelessness that exists with this community. And it's not just veterans, although about 26% of those are Vietnam vets. So these guys are still dealing with issues, right? And we're ministering to those guys and doing everything we can. And if you're from that era, you know, just know that we understand. It's hard. They went through so much that I don't think that any of us really know the depth of that, you know, for many of those guys. But we now have been able to say that still yet, we, as far as we know, all that we have news of to this day, we still have not lost one individual to suicide once they connect with our ministry. That's a miracle. That is a real miracle. So the VA, they come, yeah, thank God for that. So that's why we have congressional members who serve on the Armed Services Committee calling me and saying, hey, we need you to come to Washington and we need you to explain to us what you're doing. Oh, okay. Last year I spent multiple times, you know, meeting with committees and Congress members and people who really care about this issue, VA directors. In fact, Director Wilkie had many conversations with us and some of our partner organizations talking about having a memorandum of understanding where they were ready to endorse our Veteran Service Alliance, which was several organizations that have aligned together on this effort, and we had it all set, and then the election, and so it's now on hold. But that would have been amazing, and we still have grassroots connections to the VA. The VA cooperates with us. We're a VA vendor. They love our materials because we're addressing something that they're just not equipped to do, and they're beginning to understand, hey, it's okay. We don't have to worry about separation of church and state. You know, when guys are killing themselves, that's ridiculous. What are we talking about? Let's just take care of people. And if this is working and they want this, then why not facilitate an opportunity for them to discover something more than what we're able to offer? That's what the VA is saying, which has been, folks, that's a miracle. I'm telling you, it's just miraculous that God is opening up these doors. And so we praise him for that. So next slide, guys, and I'll run through this real quick. Jack, I got to tell you about Jack. So this is one of our stories. So Jack is a guy from Idaho, and we have a system by which when they get online, they go to any of our pages. When they're ready, there's a button, a big red button that says, let's talk. They hit that button, and they're able to give us a little bit of information. They hit send, and within just a few minutes, we have somebody talking to them. That's how that works. And so we want to integrate one-on-one. Well, I happened to be on call that night. I was outside. In fact, I was pulling weeds in my flower bed. And it was a sunny night. Sorry, I was breaking the Sabbath. I didn't mean to. It was one of those times. I had just gotten home from a deal. I was walking. I just noticed there were some weeds. Started pulling weeds. And my phone buzzes. And it was an alert on our system that said that somebody was contemplating suicide. And it was this guy, Jack. And so I get on right away. And I saw that he had written just a few minutes earlier. He said, hey, I have no hope. I don't really know who you guys are, but it looks like you guys know who I am, and I don't know that I have any hope to live, but is there anybody that can talk to me? And he gave his phone number. So I called him. And so within just a few minutes of him hitting that button, I was able to contact him, and I said, hey, Jack, what's going on? You know, I'm Kevin, and yeah, I'm a veteran, and he's a Vietnam vet. And he said, well, hey, I've got a pistol in my hand, and I'm done. And unless you can tell me why I shouldn't pull the trigger, I think I'll just do it while I'm on the phone with you. That's pretty extreme, you know? So part of me was like, I didn't, you know, what do you say, right? What do you say to that? Well, in one way, it kind of made me mad, you know? Like, wait a minute, Jack, time out. I was like, what do you think that would do to me if I'm on the phone with you and I hear this loud bang and you just took your life? I mean, why would you do that to me? I'm your brother. He goes, well, I hadn't thought about it that way. I was like, could you just put the gun down, please? Can we just talk? Okay, it's down. Good. We're good. Come off the ledge. Let's have a conversation. Come to find out, he's living in a trailer in the middle of the woods in Idaho. His wife had left him years ago because she said that he was jacked up and nuts, and he probably was and is. And his kids had no connection with him. The VA had lost his packet. He was on 100% disability, so all of his income was coming from the VA, and they lost his packet, and he hadn't gotten a check in almost 6 months. So he was out of money. And he's like, I have no hope. There's nothing left for me to do, so why not just, what's the point? And I'm like, so are you telling me that that you're going to do this just because the VA isn't helping you. Well, yeah, I have no place to go. I said, well, now you do. I said, we're going to help you. We just happen to have a VA rep who used to work for the VA, and now he's on our team, and I promise you, Jack, within 24 hours, we can get this squared away. He goes, there's no way. I've tried and tried and tried, and they won't help me. And I knew that there was other circumstances. It's not what you know, it's who you know, right? So I said, just give me 24 hours. You got nothing to lose. He said, okay. So I called my buddy Blake, who's on our team. He was a veteran service officer for the VA. He looks up his file. He said, I know exactly what happened. He was able to fix it online that Sunday night, got in touch with the director there at Idaho, or one of the workers, the representatives there. They had cut a check for him that Monday morning. I was able to call Jack before noon that day and said, hey, go. They got all your checks, or they have your retroactive checks. They got everything back in order. Everything's cool. He's like, who are you people? I was like, hey, we're nobody, buddy. We're just people who love people like you, and we're here to help you. And that's what it's all about. Went and picked up his check, and I said, now, Jack, I need to talk to you about Jesus. He goes, you can talk to him about whoever you want. I'm listening, you know. And so we got him into a Mighty Oaks program, which is a combat retreat for, it's a one-week intensive. We took care of all of his expenses, didn't cost him a dime. He gave his heart to Christ 3 weeks later at this intensive. It was amazing. Now Jack is reconnected with his wife, reconnected to his children. He's attending a church, and God is now fulfilling his purpose through his life because someone had the opportunity finally to say, hey, God has a plan. You're loved. You belong. You have a purpose, and there's value to who you are, and you don't want to forfeit that just because you've gone through some hardship. And now he's one of our advocates, and he's now talking to guys. Isn't that great? So this is how the cycle works. Yeah. We thank Jesus for that. All right, so let me go to the next slide here, guys, and dive into real quick, like less than 60 seconds. Resources, these are some of the resources that God has enabled us now to produce, write. We have over 20 full-time writers that are working on resources like this based on these experiences that we're having. Things from small group curriculum for invisible wounds. We do podcasts, devotional subscriptions, and we do a film for the DOD. They contract us, and we're doing film testimonials. It's great. Another long story, but we have an Emmy Award-winning director who helps us with all of our film. Another miracle. Awesome, just crazy. So God has really blessed us. Next slide there. Some of the services that we offer, workshops, unit ministry training to chaplains. I was at Fort Bliss all last week. I'll be at Fort Sill tomorrow and working with command staffs. This is what's great. These commanders are bringing their staffs together and saying, okay, what do we need to do? Well, here's why it's so important to value the people that you lead. And we're giving them resources and instruction on how to pour into them and then saying, hey, we'll help you. You don't have to do something you're not comfortable with. Let us come alongside and partner with you. So they're paying our way. We come in and we get to talk to them about why Jesus is so important to their folks. And they're like, bring it on. We've even been at 29 Palms with the Marine Corps. I mean, you know, when the Marines start calling you, you know, that's pretty cool. You know, because they're like, we're Marines. We don't need anybody. We stormed the beach. It's like, okay, but we've had 7 suicides in our battalion. Okay, we're ready. Let's talk. You know, so that's been really great. So these are just some examples. One of our most powerful services, next slide there, is our office in Germany. We actually opened an office 2 years ago. It's a coffee shop, 5,000 square feet with workshop space. And we have anywhere from 200 to 300 people in that area, American military members who are stationed, over 80,000 are stationed there. And we get to minister to them every single day and offer just tremendous opportunities for them to learn more about what it means to have wholeness in their life through Christ. Tim Krentz, he's our director there. He's a retired Chief Master Sergeant, Air Force. He's living there with his family. We have 16 other people on full-time staff, and the coffee shop pretty much pays for it. Coffee shop by day and a kind of a resiliency center, you know, intensives in the evenings, and it's been fabulous. And so we're hoping we can replicate this at other military installations and areas around the world and in our own country here. So pray with us about that, because it costs about $750,000 to spin something like this up, but God provided, and we know he'll do it again if that's what he wants to do. So those are our services. And then finally, our partnerships. You know, really, these are really what makes it so robust. We're able now to work with other organizations that we have found to be effective. And this is really making the difference. This has never happened before. You know, until the Warrior's Journey, We didn't have veteran service organizations that were working together. So we're thankful that God has helped allow us to be at least an impetus to this. Does that make sense? To at least get this going. And now it's been fantastic to see how we are locking arms and doing kingdom work. So please pray for us, would you? Please pray. I will talk about this a little bit later because each of you, if you're a veteran, are going to get a gift today. It's our Warriors Bible. It is an application Bible. It's one of the resources that we produced. American Bible Society actually printed 250,000 of these for us to give away, and we're really grateful for that. Unfortunately, that's coming to an end. We've distributed all 250,000 in the last 18 months to military members around the world, but this has been one of our biggest anti-suicide tools I've ever seen. Because I asked people, now, how did you find out about the Warriors Journey? Well, I got the Warriors Bible. I started reading it, and I thought maybe you could help me. Wow. The Word of God does really make a difference. The Word of God is really powerful. And there are over 1,000 articles in here. It's an application Bible. There's notes and all kinds of neat things. So we're getting ready to do round two. So pray with us that somehow God would give us the resources to do more of this because it's just really great. Okay, now to conclude, because I don't want to keep you here past your time. And thank you again for allowing me to share that. Again, you are making this happen. Your partnership in missions is allowing you to be directly connected to this. I hope you're encouraged by that. And in this Veterans Day week, or really we call November the month of the veteran, right? It's been so awesome to see and look back and celebrate the results that God is bringing to us. So I want to just open the door for you to ask questions. I'll be at the table. My wife and I will be back there at the end. And we'll also, if you're a veteran, please pick up one of these. But I want to share from God's word with you. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 1. And I have a short message. I promise it's not going to be more than a couple hours. I promise it's I'm kidding. I want to talk to you about perspective today, because perception and how we perceive things and our perspective is really everything. As we were worshiping this morning, thinking about the words that we sing, God, you do everything. You meet all my needs. You never fail. You know, those are all things that we read, we hear, and it shapes the way we look at things. It really shapes the way that we address life and the way that we decide to behave. And when I think about that, I think about the Apostle Paul and how for him, perception was everything. You know, Paul here in the book of Philippians, he should have been a pretty messed up dude. If you know anything about his life, you know anything about what had led him to being in prison, chained to a Roman soldier in this stage of his ministry. And the Philippians, being concerned, wrote this letter and sent aid to him. And here he is, and he's like, man, life is good. And you're like, what are you talking about? You know, because you think of all that he had been through. In fact, in 2 Corinthians, let me just read this to you. It says this in chapter 11, verse 23. Paul said, I worked much harder. I've been in prison more frequently. I've been flogged more severely. I've been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes, minus one. Whoa, I can't imagine being lashed once, let alone, 39 times, 4 times, on top of each other. 5 times I received that. 3 times I was beaten with rods. I was once pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and I've often gone without food. And I've been cold and naked. And beside all of this, what's even more important is the pressure of the church that burns in my soul, he says. I'm paraphrasing now, right? He's saying the pressure of wanting to make sure that the church has all that it needs to thrive. That's the burden of my heart. You think all that Paul experienced, I read this to combat vets. I'll go to Navy SEALs or Special Forces guys, and we're doing these workshops, and I'll say, let me just read this to you. And then I said, what do you guys think about that? And they're like, we couldn't do that. And I think about what they have been through, right? And they're like, we haven't been through anything like that. Yeah, I'd be pretty messed up. So you think about somebody in the Bible who should have had post-traumatic stress, who should have dealt with probably some pretty serious mental health issues, would have been the Apostle Paul, because of all he experienced. But yet here in the book of Philippians, he says, I rejoice. And I'll say it again, I rejoice. You want to know why he could do that? No, it's because he wasn't mentally ill. Okay, it wasn't because he was, looney-toony. It wasn't that at all. It was because Paul had a perspective that kept him grounded in what true reality was all about. You know what perspective is? According to the Webster Dictionary, it says the art of representing three-dimensional objects on a two-dimensional surface as to give the right impression of their height, width, depth, and position in relationship to each other, or the scope of any given circumstance, and secondarily here, a particular attitude towards a way or regarding something, a point of view. So perspective is really about looking at all the situation, not just what you're experiencing, not just the circumstances, but everything that surrounds those circumstances and coming to a conclusion of what really is happening. And if you're like me, can I just be transparent? You know, if I'm shipwrecked once for Jesus, or if I'm, you know, flogged once, or if I'm, you know, having some type of a hardship, or honestly, if, man, something doesn't go my way, God, what are you doing to me? Oh, God. You know, but I prayed, and I'm doing all the things right, and all of a sudden we start thinking that somehow prayer and our commitment to church and our commitment to reading God's word, our discipleship, it's like there's this guarantee that we're not going to have trouble in a fallen world. And that's just not the truth. Jesus even said it. In this world, you will have trouble. Yeah. But be encouraged. I have overcome the world. And so Paul knew that and he understood this. In fact, Paul said every one of these tough circumstances ultimately resulted in an opportunity that would have never happened if I hadn't endured that circumstance. And this is truly the case when he's sitting down in prison. So, in the spirit of simplicity and at the risk of being too simple, I'd like to suggest to you that there are three places that we allow our lives to be influenced when it comes to our perspective. And I want to encourage you to pick the right one today, if you haven't already. Number one, I can rely on what I think and feel about the things I experience and make my choices based on that. I can do that, and many times I do. It usually doesn't lead to anything productive or good. Secondarily, I can think about what others think, or I can take in what others think about what I'm experiencing, what they feel about it, get their advice. That can be helpful, or maybe not, depending on that person's perspective. I can tell you I've shared things before with friends and, you know, hey, here's what I'm going through. Oh, dude, you're toast. That's too bad. Be praying for you. Any advice? No. No, not really. I don't know how to deal with that. Sure glad it's not me. Wow, thanks for all your encouragement. Right? I mean, you can rely on that, or you can have somebody tell you, well, this is what I think you should do, and that may or may not be right. Or finally, I can do this. It's very simple. I can rely on what God knows to be best about the things I experience. I can go to Christ. I can go to our Heavenly Father and say, okay, I don't necessarily understand. I don't really know what's happening here, but I do know this, that nothing happens by accident, and that God, there isn't anything that takes place that changes what you said. Didn't we sing that this morning? It doesn't matter what I experience. It doesn't matter what tragedy I may face. It doesn't matter how difficult something may become. It doesn't change the fact that God is still on the throne and that he still loves me. Even in spite of my own failures, he still loves me. That Jesus died, was buried, rose again. Folks, that's not going to change. That's the truth. And so Paul knew that. And that's what we notice about this. So what comes into our minds, this is A.W. Tozer, he said this, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Because what you think about God, especially when you are under stress or when you face something that you really can't control, which is what we talk about all the time with these military members and their families, because they're positioned to endure things that they cannot control. Their position and even the training that they go through, that's great. But even when they're thrust into a situation where they're defending or they're working, whether it's in combat or in support of that, they're exposed to things that are just not normal, and they can't control that. And so what you think about God in that moment makes all the difference. I'll tell you, my son, who's been in combat, who understands that, I've been very concerned. There have been times where he's come home from deployments and I said, hey, how's it going? You know, how you doing? Oh, I'm good, Dad, I'm good. I was like, no, seriously, just you and me here. How's it really, how you doing? He goes, Dad, I'm good. And here's why. Because I stand on the foundation of my faith I know who Jesus is, and I know what he's called me. God's called me to do this, Dad. God's called me to be a warrior. I'm like, okay, don't tell your mother that. You know, she knows. But you know what I'm saying? He's like, look, I have a perspective, Dad, because there's evil in this world, and I feel privileged and honored to be able to rightfully, without hatred in my heart, but objectively, be able to intervene and to hopefully be a barrier to the advancement of evil. That's what keeps me sane. That's what keeps me on this path that knows, and I share that with my men and my guys and the guys that I serve with, and it's having an impact. But not most people don't know that. They don't really understand that. So listen, most important thing about any of us is we have to think rightly about God, the perspective of our life. Where are we? What is this world like, and what is it that he's calling us to, and what do the circumstances mean in our life, and are we looking at it correctly? Because if you know what a person really believes in his heart or in her heart, what God really is to them, what God really is like to them, you'll be able to predict their spiritual success or failure. I mean, if we just believe that we think God is in control, well, I'm pretty sure God loves me. Well, I hope I'm going to heaven. Yeah, that's not really the right perspective, right? I mean, because when you have issues, there won't be that confidence. How we exercise our faith, our trust, our commitment, how we love other people, how we express ourselves to other people, it's all connected to the way we truly think about God. When I love the Lord with all my heart and I love others as myself, then I'm going to be concerned about others' needs, not just my own. And if I'm not so much. Because if we get it wrong about God, then it doesn't matter what else we get right, because perspective eternally is everything. So, I'm coming to Philippians. I know. I'm getting there. I promise. I'm going to land this plane. Just a few scriptures I want to share and a few thoughts. So what Paul thought about God when he was in prison, chained to a Roman guard. Think about this. He's chained to a Roman guard 24/7. They're taking shifts, right? And this is the elite guard. This is like the soldiers among soldiers. The elite men, right? These are individual people that he would have never had an opportunity to have a conversation with, and yet God positions him in a way to be chained to an individual for hours upon hours, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. Paul's in prison 3 years. Now, if I would have been chained to a Roman guard for 3 years, I don't know that I'd have a whole lot of hope. I'd be like, oh God, you know, because I'm out of control. Paul, you know what Paul did? Paul's like, this is awesome. I mean, think about it, it's all about perspective. Which is worse? Being the Apostle Paul chained to a pagan Roman guard, or being a pagan Roman guard chained to the Apostle Paul? Think about it, right? Paul's like, bring it on. Hey, I want to talk to you today. I know. It's probably about the same thing you want to talk. You talked to me about, you know, last week or yesterday or however they did the rotations. I don't know what it was. I can imagine them going to the duty roster, right? These Caesar's household, his elite guards, and they're like, oh, that's my duty. Oh, I got Paul duty today. I'm going to hear about Jesus, you know, and about him dying for my sin and being resurrected from the dead and how I've got a purpose and plan for my life. And it's like, oh, here we go again. But, you know, here's what was happening. He was having an effect. And this was actually taking place where it was advancing the gospel. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ, because he's doing it in my life. He said, in both my imprisonment and the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, for God is my witness, how I yearn for you and all the affection of Jesus. It is my prayer that your love may abound more and more in the knowledge and discernment. See, Paul, that was the basis of his perspective. This is what he truly thought about God. He knew that God's love was everything, and that God's love shaped everything. And as long as he was focused on God's love, he could take what he was doing. God, what are you doing in this moment? And what do you want to do through me, God, today? Not so much, what are you doing to me? It's, what do you want to do through me? That's a big difference. And he took advantage of that. So this is what he said then in verse 12. He said, this has really served to advance the gospel so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard. And the rest, all the rest of the people here, that my imprisonment is for one thing, for Jesus. These guardsmen started having empathy for him. So what are you here for, Paul? Well, because I love Jesus. Huh, that's interesting. Doesn't seem like a very big crime. You know, this is kind of interesting. And now all of a sudden they become friends. They come to Jesus. They started interacting with him. And this is, that's pretty cool. And the word starts getting out, and then the whole Roman Empire, at least in Rome, even the believers were emboldened to share the gospel without fear, because they said, hey, even the Imperial Guard are starting to understand, and they're starting to come to Christ. So, very quickly, remember this. Perspective drives our passion. You've got to have the right perspective, because it's really what drives your passion. Paul's passion was so important, and our passion is so important, because my passion is really a direct result of what it is I perceive. Paul said this in chapter 1, verse 18. He said, "And I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and by the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. As it is, my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether it is by life or death." And here was his passion: "Because for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." That's my perspective. And if I'm going to live on this earth, I'm going to take advantage of every situation, and especially if it's in a difficult one. When I share this with veterans, they're like, the light bulbs are going on. Yeah, we've been through difficult stuff. Well, isn't this great? It must mean that God is preparing you for something very powerful, or there's something God's doing right now in this moment that you're just not seeing. How can we discover that together? Whoa. Brings a whole new perspective and deliverance. Now, passion is important because it dictates our devotion. And Paul's devotion, he was completely cause-motivated for others coming to know Jesus. Philippians chapter 1, verse 22. Let me just share this verse part in verse 22. It says, "If I'm to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor to me." And later on in verse 24, it says, "But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account." I could go to heaven. In fact, I'd like to go to heaven. You know, I've been around the block here, and I'm kind of getting tired. It'd be great. But I think I need to stick around for your sake. That was his devotion. Philippians 3:12, he says, "Not that I've already obtained this or that I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own." That's powerful. Think about that. I press on toward the goal, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He was so devoted to making sure that everyone that God had entrusted to him would somehow know the truth that he discovered. When I share that with veterans and warriors, I just ask them, I said, you know, what is it you think God wants to do through your life? Well, I don't know if God doesn't even know my name. Well, yes, he does. Well, God isn't really interested in me. Oh, yes, he is. Well, I don't think God could ever even love me because, you know, I tell people about what I did in the military and they think I'm a monster. No, you're not. I get that other people may think that, but God doesn't think that. There's something more. Finally, our devotion is what directs our actions. And that's what it's really all about, right? How we really literally behave. Philippians 2:18, that's why Paul could write this. He brings it back to Jesus. Who am I to complain about my circumstance when I think about what Jesus has done for me? He says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others." If Paul was living that, he was living it here, wasn't he? Isn't this great? To the degree by which, even at the end of the letter, you can go back to the final pages there, the final chapter, look toward the end, it says, oh, all these people send their greetings. Oh, and Caesar's household. He was talking about the guards. Can you imagine? He's writing this letter, and Paul's like, hey, Paul, don't forget to mention all our buddies. You know, don't forget to mention what's happening in our lives because he's turning our lives upside down. Paul wanted to tell people that. Listen, this has served to advance the gospel. And I'm just grateful for the opportunity. You see, it's all about perspective. I'll finalize this my presentation to you here this morning, or just my thoughts to you this morning through one last story. And this is a guy named Matt. I was with him about 3 years ago. We were at a golf event in Florida. Matt was a Marine. He was in Iraq, Fallujah, lost both his legs above the knee and his left arm. And Matt was a pretty resilient guy. He'd come out, he was playing golf. The guy, he'd learned how to play golf. He'd learned how to maintain. He'd played golf before. And in fact, we're on the 18th hole. I got paired up with him that day. We were there a whole week. In fact, I gave him a Warrior's Bible, just very similar to this one. And I said, hey, want to make this a gift to you? And he'd been reading it, I could tell. And so I got to spend the day with him, and we talked about his experiences, his family, what he was going through, and I tried to introduce opportunities to just talk about how God has a plan. And he was pretty quiet, didn't really respond a whole lot to that. So we're on the 18th fairway. We're coming up. By the way, he was beating me by 4 strokes. I'm a pretty good golfer. I mean, I'm about an 18 handicap, not bad, right? Bogey golf. This guy was incredible. I mean, you're talking about resilient. I mean, nothing was going to get this guy down, right? And he was just a hard charger. Didn't complain once about all the things he'd had to experience. 2 prosthetic legs and a prosthetic left arm, and he's, wow. So we're driving up the fairway, and we stop, and he says, hey, before we get out, I know this is going to be the end of our time together, and, you know, we leave tomorrow, but he pulled out that Warrior Bible, and he said, hey, I want to give this back to you because you need to give this to somebody that could use it a whole lot more than me. And I'm like, Matt, what? He said, yeah, there's no way that a loving God that I know that is written about in this book would ever forgive me for the things I've done as a Marine. And I said, hey, can I dig a little deeper? He said, well, yeah, sure. He said, what did you do? Like, did you murder old women and disembowel babies in their sleep? Or what did you do that was so horrible? That he said, no, I did my job as a Marine, but, you know, I had to take life. And it says, thou shalt not murder. So I'm destined to hell. I'm, there's no way that God would ever forgive me. And I'm like, Matt, it doesn't work that way. I said, I understand what you're saying. And I'm not saying that there isn't sin in your life, because we're all sinners. And I'm not saying that God doesn't need to forgive you. But for being a warrior, that's not one of them. I opened to the book of Leviticus, and it says, the heart of God is the heart of a warrior. I went to Samuel, and I said, Or Saul killed his thousands and David his tens of thousands. Oh, and by the way, it says David was a man after God's own heart and God loved him. Where does it say that? I start going through the scripture, just doing a little survey. And I said, Matt, listen, I don't know what you're coming from, but he was dealing with a moral injury issue. He was so morally injured that he thought that because of what he had seen, what he'd been a part of, in the fact as a warrior defending our freedoms, right, giving all that he did so that you and I could be sitting here this morning. And I kind of got fired up with him. I said, Matt, you're just wrong. God not only does not accept you, he does accept you. He loves you. And I said, but I believe that God is proud of you because of what you did. I said, I'm looking at you, Matt. Look at you. Look at you. You have no legs. You're missing your left arm. You did that for me. You signed a blank check when you raised your right hand to defend the Constitution of this country. And that was a very sacred oath that you took seriously. Look at you. Look what you've done to me. This is what I think, Matt. I think you're the greatest example, living example of who Jesus is, by giving your life, not just for a friend, but for a stranger like me, until I met you this week. And I started getting emotional about it, because I said, Matt, God's got more for you than that. He, big crocodile tears start coming down his face. Of course, he's a Marine. He's like, something in my eye, you know. And I said, Matt, God loves you. He says, so you really believe that God accepts me? I said, yeah, I do. And he got on his prosthetic knees in that 18th fairway, and he gave his heart to Christ. And today, Matt's doing pretty well. He's growing. He's led his family to Jesus. He's thriving. And that's what it takes. It's one life at a time. It's one single life at a time. And that's what we've dedicated ourselves to. Every single life matters. And I believe that God has a special place in his heart for people who have done what Matt has done, what Jack has done, what many of you have done by serving your country. And folks, I believe, this is just the patriotic side of me, okay? I know that America is not God's chosen nation, okay? But I do believe this, that this is a nation that was founded on his principles. And I believe that God has blessed this nation. And I believe God wants to continue to use this nation, not just so that we could have what we want, but so that the message of the gospel can go forward. I believe that. And so I believe that those who have defended this nation have every right to now be taken care of. They took care of us. Now it's time for us to take care of them. And spiritually is the most important thing. Do you agree? All right, so the plane is landing, touching ground right here. Would you pray with me? And I would like it if you would just agree with me that somehow, some way, the ministries of Life Point Church will continue to be a blessing to these individuals, and that you would pray for us, that somehow God will help us to be successful in this effort. And I want to pray for you primarily, because if you're here today, whether you're a veteran or not, and maybe this is a message that you needed to hear this morning, because your perspective may just need a little correction to know that whatever you're experiencing, God has a plan for you. No matter where you've been or what you've done or who you are, God calls us home. He loves you. You're his child. Isn't that good news? Would you pray? Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. Thank you for LifePoint Church and Pastor Steve and Robin, the staff. This tremendous congregation has been so dedicated to giving and helping, being a part of the advancement of your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, I take just this moment, Father, that there's anyone in this room today that God, that needs a touch. Maybe they need to accept you as Savior. Maybe they need to yield to the fact that God, it isn't beyond your forgiveness to forgive them for something they feel is the unpardonable thing. The fact that they're here today and that you're drawing them to hear a message like this proves that there's still a plan for their life, a wonderful plan. And may they receive that in this moment, I pray. In fact, with heads bowed, eyes closed, if you're here this morning and you just need a touch, maybe you need to accept Christ and you're willing to do that today or rededicate, or maybe it's just, God, I just want to yield to you. I want to have the right perspective. Maybe you've just been like me, I'll be the first one to tell you, maybe you've just been a little spoiled. And instead of looking for what God wants to do through you, you like me many times have complained about your circumstance. And today you're saying, I'm challenged and encouraged that something good can come from it. Just where you're sitting, would you just lift a hand? I want to pray for you. Wherever you are, yes, yes. God, you see hands. You see people's hearts. As they lift their heart to you, I pray that you would do only what you can do through the power of your Holy Spirit. Minister to them in a powerful and wonderful way. May you, God, bring hope and healing. May you bring the light of your plan to life. And we thank you for that. We thank you for it. Before I say amen this morning, if you're a veteran, again, would you just stand to your feet, please? Or you are currently serving, just stand to your feet. I just want to have a special prayer for you. God, we thank you for these who have served. And I pray that right now in Jesus' name that you would touch each one. And God, I pray that they would be encouraged today to know that their service, though sacrificial, was not without purpose. Bless them in a very special way today. Help them to feel appreciated by you and that you would heal, make whole their heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.